but it means you have passed from a death in sin to a life in Christ. Then he goes on to say, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead in trespasses and sins, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, not the words of the Son of God. A preacher can give you his words. A preacher can quote him and give you his words. But the only one that can speak with the voice of the Son of God is the voice of the Son of God himself. It's the Son of God himself. And he says, thou hear the voice of the Son of God, and all they that hear shall live. I come to the 8th chapter of Romans, and the Apostle Paul says, what, listen to this. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But watch this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I find after the Apostle Paul makes those wonderful statements in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30, and we love those statements. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And the Apostle Paul says, what shall we then say to these things? One of the questions that's raised, there's seven questions raised after the Apostle Paul makes that statement, but one of them is, who is he that condemneth? Who is he that condemneth? Here's a challenge to the universe. The Lord Jesus Christ foreknew his people. He foreknew them. He predestinated them. He called them. He justified them. He glorified them. Who is going to condemn them? He says it's Christ that died. Christ is not going to condemn you. It wouldn't make any sense for Christ to condemn you because he died for you at Calvary. Who's going to condemn you? God's not going to condemn you because he says it's God that justifies. God is not in the business of condemning his people. He's in the business of justifying them. Christ is in the business of condemning them. Who is it that's going to condemn them? My friends, the devil will not have the privilege of barbecuing one that Christ died for. Now, as you begin to look at this, there is a final condemnation that God's people will never see, they'll never come into. Now watch this. The entire human race was condemned when Adam fell. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. So that man you came to preach to was condemned before you got there. That man, by hating the gospel, that man, by denying the gospel, by having no ear for that, is just manifesting something that's already there. Your gospel's drawing it out. There is a final condemnation when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back that God's people will never experience. But on the other hand, there is something that'll condemn you from time to time as you go through this life. We go to 1 John chapter 3, and the beloved Apostle John says, for if our heart condemn us, if our heart condemn us. I found people say, well, I'll just follow my heart. I'll just trust my heart. Well, according to the Bible, you're a fool. Job says over here, he that trusteth in his heart is a fool. Because many times this, what people refer to as their heart, you know, their feelings. Many times those feelings will tell you you're doing right when you're doing wrong. Sometimes those feelings over there will tell you you're doing wrong when you're doing right. Because I find over here in the 17th chapter of Jeremiah where he says that the heart of man is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Who can even know it? Somebody says, well, I'll follow my conscience. You better look out, because by nature your conscience has been seared over with a hot iron. I tell you what you better follow. You better follow the Word of God. And I think I'll amen that one myself. You better follow the Word of God. This heart that you've got within you, that old nature you've got within you, I mean that natural thinking that's in there, will try to convince you that you're doing right when you're doing wrong. Why? Because the Bible says all a man's ways are right in his own eyes. He says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want to draw you a quick illustration. All people do as they go downward in life is that they just rewrite their code of ethics. Everybody you find in this world has got them a code of ethics. They've got a little set of rules they live by. Elvis Presley, would fornicate right and left, fornicate here, fornicate right and left, but he had him a little rule. He didn't fornicate with married women. Of course, if they divorced their husbands and all that type of thing, had him a little. Everybody's got a little rule of ethics. Now I want to draw you a little illustration. And for the benefit of you folks listening to these tapes, you should have been here. I'm going to use visual aids. Watch my hand up here. Here's an individual up here, and his code of ethics, his rule of ethics. Watch this. Here's his code of ethics, what he lives by. I do not drink. Liquor has never touched my lips. Now watch him step down. I occasionally take a toddy for the body. I drink for medicinal purposes only. That's his new rule. See, now he's stepped off of this. And I'll say to every youngster in this congregation, no individual ever went to bed tonight free of alcohol, dope, and that type of thing, and woke up the next morning a slave to it. Nobody ever went to bed free of it, woke up the next morning a slave to it. The old Chinaman Confucius says, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. That's right. It begins with that first bottle of beer, that first drink. It begins when you're over here at the sorority or the fraternity. You're out here with your group, and you take that first one. Same thing with everything else. And there's a lot of things out here in this world that God's people get hooked on. The first time you messed with it, it didn't even taste good. Coffee does not taste good. Smells good, but it does not taste good till you acquire taste for it. First cigarette you ever smoked probably turned you green. By the guilty looks on your faces, some of you know what I'm talking about. Beer does not taste good. In fact, it doesn't even look good. I'm not going to tell you what I think it looks like. You have to acquire a taste for it. You understand that? Now watch this. Here's this individual up here. Now watch him. As he goes to the bottom, he's going to rewrite his code of ethics. I do not drink. Liquor has never touched my lips. He decides he'll get along with his buddies. Be acceptable. Steps down. I do not drink. I use it for medicinal purposes only. I use a toddy for the body. Now he rewrites his rule. I drink socially, but I've never been drunk. His new rule is, it's all right to drink, but don't get drunk. Now then, as he steps, he goes down a little farther. He's got to rewrite him a rule, see? Watch this. I drink, and I've been drunk, but I'll have you know I always bought my own liquor. Now watch this. Now he's going to go a little lower. I drink, and I've been drunk, and I always bought my own liquor, but I've never been in the gutter. Now he's going to go a little lower. I drink, I get drunk, I always bought my own liquor, I've been drunk, I've been in the gutter, but I ain't never rolled over in it. Or I ain't never been in the same gutter twice. All the way down, you see what I'm saying? All the way down, he's got a limit beyond which he will not go, but every time he steps down, he just rewrites the rules. You see that as he goes down? Why? Because there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Most everybody you ever met in college, most everybody you ever met, been with on the job, even though they use bad language, I use bad language, but I don't use it around women. I use bad language, but I don't use it in church. I drink, but I don't get drunk. I do this, but. Everybody's got them a little rule over here, a step beyond which they will not go. I've got news for you. Those rules are not reliable. The Bible tells us, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Bible tells me your conscience can be seared over with a hot iron. Bible tells me that all a man's ways are clean or right in his own eyes. Listen. I find, as I come over here, that the Apostle John tells us as we go through this life, from time to time, our heart will condemn us. First of all, your heart will tell you you're doing the right thing when you're doing the wrong thing. Now I want to add to it. Your heart will sometimes tell you you're doing the wrong thing when you're doing the right thing. I'll give you an outstanding example. My wife's daddy, who lived to be past 99, most outstanding Primitive Baptist deacon I ever knew in my life. Brother Gibbons met him a few times. He was a spiritual giant. But my wife's father told me time and time again that there was a time when my wife's father and her mother, that is my in-laws, that they had presented themselves to join the old Morris Memorial Church in Memphis. This has been long years ago. My father-in-law was back in the dressing room with Elder Jim Hardwick, one of the ablest men that ever lived among our people. He's back there, Brother Hardwick. He was preparing to get ready to go out and be baptized. And in all, right in the very middle of it, my father-in-law, he's a young man back then, began to put his clothes back on. Brother Hardwick looked over at him and says, "What are you doing?" My father-in-law says, "I've deceived these old Baptists. I don't need to be doing this. I don't belong in the church. I shouldn't be doing this, and I'm backing out of it." Brother Hardwick looked over him. Brother Hardwick was a giant man with a barrel chest. He held lots of debates. He was a preacher. Brother Hardwick looked over to him. He said, "That's the devil talking to you." Real quick counseling session, you know. I mean, that's the way our precious old brethren used to counsel folks. End of counseling session. My father-in-law, I mean, all of a sudden he knew it. "That's the devil talking to you." I mean, he went into the water, and my father-in-law became one of the most faithful Primitive Baptist deacons I've ever known on this earth. In fact, I've never known a Primitive Baptist member any more dedicated to the cause than my wife's dad. He was doing the right thing. But there was something inside him condemning him. Now then, there is a condemnation that God's born-again children sometimes bear as we go through this life. Now I want to read you some words that will tell us how to do without it. I come over to 1 John 3:16. A lot of people can quote John 3:16. How about 1 John 3:16? 1 John 3:16. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he," that is God, "laid down his life for us." He says, "Therefore we ought to lay down our life for the brethren." And then he goes on to say, watch this. He says, "Let us love, not in word and truth," word and tongue. "Let us love, not in word and tongue," lip service. "Let us love, not in word and tongue, but in deed and in truth." He says, if you want to go through life and not feel condemned, if you want to be a happy child of God, instead of going around with your heart condemning you all the time, not feeling right, he says the way to do that, he says, let us love, not just in word and tongue. This is lip service. Lord Jesus Christ described people like that. Matthew chapter 15, verses 6 through 9. He says, watch this. He says, this people, he says, they draw nigh unto me with their lips. They draw nigh unto me with their lips. He says, they draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and says, they praise me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They draw nigh unto me with their mouths. He says, they'll draw nigh unto me with their mouths. He said, they praise me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. These are people over here that draw nigh to the Lord with the lip and with the mouth, but their heart is somewhere else. These are people that will rear back and sing, "How firm a foundation," while the rotten church floor is falling in. I told that at a big church in South Mississippi one time. I mean, it got quiet as a turkey farm on Thanksgiving afternoon. Come find out, it happened there. Providence Church, Bay Springs, Mississippi. I go there every year. I was there last April. Been going there 30 years. Long years ago, they weren't, too prompt about keeping the building up in good shape. They were having an association there. Lots of extra folks there. And during that meeting, the floor started pop, 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 crash, snap, crackle, and down it went. So I just, sort of told that for illustration over the years, and then got somewhere one time where it happened. As another church I know of, I preach there every fall. I'll be going there, Lord willing, in about a month. And they've got a nice brick meeting house there today. Nice brick meeting house. And they've got a nice brick place to eat. Very well fixed up. But back in the old days, I mean, when the folks around there held on to a penny till Abraham Lincoln had ingrown whiskers, I mean, they were covetous. Somebody asked me a while back, they didn't know anything about Primitive Baptists. Said, I never heard of them. Said, are y'all like Pentecostals? I said, no, we're not Pentecostals. I said, a lot of them are dollar-costals. go hear a good sermon, wouldn't take $1 million for that, and then put a dollar on the table, give the church about $1 a month. I said, a lot of them are dollar-costals, but be that as it may, these folk over here, very covetous. They had an old frame building back in those days. And every fall, They'd go out there and take some of the boards off. They'd take the boards off from time to time. I'm not really sure of the season of the earth. That's what they told me. They'd go out there every once in a while, pull those boards back, take the window casing back, pull the window casing back, take off a lot of the window casing, the boards around it, and they'd go in there and they'd rob the honey because the bees would come in there from time to time. And bees built a hive around the window casing, and they'd go in there and rob the honey and put it all back. Preacher friend of mine went there one time, and they told him, said, "Why, brother," I was about to call his name, said, he's still living, said, and the church is still there, and I've been going there in about a month. They said, "Well, brother, just look there." Said, "Even the bees know where the sweet stuff belongs. They bring it over here to the old Baptist church. They know where the sweet stuff belongs. Even the bees got sense to bring the sweet stuff over here." He said, "Don't feed me that." Said, "If you kept your building repaired, they wouldn't be able to get in there and do that." Well, they tore that thing down. They put a nice brick building there today. I've seen all kinds of folks that'll draw nigh with a mouth, saying standing on the premises while they're loafing on the premises. I can't be there, but I'll send my spirit. I believe it. I believe it. I'm a strong believer. I believe it strong as you do. Of course, I never have joined the church, but I believe it strong as you do. No, you don't believe as strong as I do. If you believed as strong as I do, you'd join. Thank you. I'll amen that one myself. Amen, amen. Now listen. They draw an eye to me of their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. Listen, the Apostle John says, "Let us not love in word and tongue." You know, if I can ever do anything to help you, you know, let me know. When you know good and well, there's plenty that you can do. I mean, that person's flat on their back, the home burned down. I mean, any fool knows there's plenty can be done. Let us not love in word and tongue, but in deed. Indeed. That means put shoe leather on your faith. Indeed and in truth. And he says, watch this. He says, "Hereby let us love, not just in word and tongue, but in deed and truth." And listen to the results. "Hereby we shall know that we're the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." That word assurance is a Bible word. There's an old hymn, "Blessed Assurance." Blessed Assurance. My friends, if God's people want blessed assurance, then we don't just love in word and truth, but in word and tongue, excuse me. We don't just love in word and tongue, but we put it into action and we love him in deed and truth. And you'll find when God's people are working hard in his kingdom, when they're going to meetings, when they're taking part in the house of God, when they're willing to cut the grass, when they're willing to financially contribute and even sacrifice, and when God's people are willing to try to bring other people to the house of God, and when they go to the house of God with joy and gladness, you're going to find some people that'll have assurance in their hearts. The best way to get rid of that condemnation, I'm talking about that you experience, as far as the legal condemnation, Jesus Christ put that away at the cross. But there's a condemnation that God's people can experience as they go through this life. My great uncle preached the gospel for 61 years, pastored one church 57 years. When he died, is the strongest church in Arkansas or Oklahoma. And one time, during his days back there, there's a character came up to him one time that was drunk. They needed to put liquor control stamps on his breath, and blowing that liquor breath, he said to my great uncle, he said, "Brother Powell," said, "I doubt my salvation." My uncle says, "Right now, I doubt it for you." You want to go through life with blessed assurance? Then do right. When God's people do right, they have a way of feeling right. Thank you. When they do right, they have a way of feeling right. He says, "Hereby let us love, not just in word and truth, but in," not in word and tongue, excuse me, "but in deed and truth." And he says, "Hereby we shall know that we're the truth and shall assure. My friends, as I go through this life, every day that I live, I want assurance. Assurance. Then the Apostle John says immediately after that, after telling us how to get some assurance, some of this blessed assurance, the Apostle John says this: "If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart." When that old inner nature of yours begins to try to condemn you and discourage you and pull you down, the Apostle John says, rest assured, God is greater than our heart. He says, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. There's no need for God's people to walk through this life under the dark shadow of condemnation, because Jesus died on the cross to remove it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I thank you, and thank each and every one of you for your real good attention. May God richly bless you.
I know you've enjoyed the preaching, very, very doctrinal in the very beginning and then very, very practical at the ending of the sermon. And I believe each one of you, you know by experience, that when our hearts condemn us, oftentimes we begin to seek what the source of that condemnation is, and we're just about as far from God and His service and serving one another. That's been my experience many, many times, and a wonderful privilege it is to walk before the Lord and before His people and serve them as best we know how, humbly as we know how, and that our love might be manifested, not just to this particular group, but to all those who would need our help and assistance. I promise you, whenever we are doing that, you'll find out that there will be an assurance. And over in my Bible, I know it's maybe in Brother Sonny's, but that word assure also means persuade.
Yes, that's right.
And see, there's convincing truth, convincing persuasion when we walk before our Lord in that proper way. We'll have some evidences that we've been bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, what He did on the cross, that'll never be undone. And you might live in a way that your heart would condemn you probably for the rest of your life. You could do things that condemnation would never be removed because of a misspent life, because of temptations that you allowed to overtake you. Now, Jesus, legally and positionally, He took and put all that away. But brother, I don't want to live like that on this side, do you? I believe I want to live in a way that when I go to bed at night, that I have a fullness and a persuasion and an assurance that I've walked with God in some way in that day. That I've stopped from all the activities and began to thank Him and to praise Him for what He's done for me. And just every now and then, when we have the opportunity to reach out, brother, not with our mouth. You see, our feet are going to speak a whole lot louder than our lips. And when our brother has a need, we ought to be the first ones there with whatever relief we have. And you know, a lot of people say, well, it's not good enough. It'll never be good enough unless we present it. So I hope that what has been spoken here tonight will be sealed in your heart, and that it might come to fruition, that it might grow, and our lives would be such that we'd not feel that condemnation that I have suffered through in my life. If you're here tonight and you'd like to come and unite with the church and any other church that would have representation, have that opportunity to do that, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, He says, come unto me all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Well, there's a rest that Jesus gives His people in coming. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest. There's something that you will find once you do that. So if you're here and you'd like to come, while we stand and give the right hand to fellowship, go ask Elder Langham, Elder Bennett, Elder Nichols, Elder Gibbons, Elder Draper, and all of you brethren, Brother Roy, come by and stand here with us as we give the right hand to fellowship. If you're here tonight and you know someone who would enjoy and appreciate what you've heard tonight, then we've got such wonderful technology in our world today. You got a telephone, just call them up. Tell them you'll come by and pick them up, bring them out, and let them enjoy what you enjoy tonight. And pray, continue to pray for the meeting. Lord willing, we hope to see you here tomorrow at 1:30. And then tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And then Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Okay? So, if you will, if you got a number selected, Brother Brandon? Number what? Number 50. Miss Fanny Crosby wrote that. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Just a minute. Start at the back, back there, Brother David. Come on right there. Start right now. Come on now. And y'all just file right on down one after another if you don't mind. And continue singing.
Perfect submission, perfect faith, visions of rapture, numbers on my side, angels descending, break down my love.
Thank you.
family here. Everybody that has a place to stay tonight, would you please sit down? I'll assume all you brothers in the back have a place. Now, the reason I did that, in case somebody was being intimidated about standing up. Now, our sisters have cleaned their houses, and I know how it is around my house. Every husband knows that when it's time to eat company. We do a lot of work. We complain every step, but we're happy after it's over with. So if you're here, you need a place to stay, and you may have felt a little bit embarrassed still. Now, we don't want that, and I know some of you maybe have special things that you need, maybe other places, but our homes are open to you. So if you need that, please see me after the service. Any of these deacon brothers would be more than happy to help you. And so, again, we thank you for coming and hope to see you tomorrow. And for those who were not here tonight, and let's see if we can't get them out. I think the Lord has given the church the gospel, brother. And it's sad. Well, I think sometimes we just want it for ourselves. I think we make a mistake in that. And the people that you've got confidence in, I don't see a thing wrong with you calling them up and saying, listen, I want you to come and see. Come and see. Just come and hear what we've been hearing. And I hope that you'll pray for the meeting to continue the way we started out tonight. If you will all stand now, let's be dismissed. And
I'll make one quick announcement.
Okay.
Elder Donnie Conner will be with us at 1 o'clock the first Sunday night in October. Start singing at 6:30.
Have a language. Dismiss us, please.
Eternal, all-wise, and most merciful Heavenly Father, Thou who art from everlasting to everlasting, without beginning of days or ending of time, we are timely creatures, Heavenly Father, and we come to bow down at the close of this day in humble thanksgiving to You for Your loving kindness and tender mercy, and ask You, Heavenly Father, to watch over us as we return to our homes, watch over us through the night and all through coming life, lead us by Thy Spirit and supply every need according to Thy mercy is our humble prayer. Amen.
Amen.